Back to Eco Talk. I'm your host, Betsy Rosenberg. I'm joined in studio by someone visiting from New Zealand, a pretty green part of the world. He is Associate Professor of City Planning at the University of Auckland in New Zealand, and he is working on green plans there. We're going to find out what's working, what's not, what some of the obstacles may have been. But first, we're going to find out exactly what green plans are and how they are being applied in New Zealand. Welcome. And are you in the States to promote the concept of green plans?
Yes, I've been working with the Resource Renewal Institute here and across in Michigan.
Huey Johnson heads that up in San Francisco and has been working internationally on promoting green plans all around the world.
Yes, and green plans, in its simplest, is taking an integrated approach to the problem of environmental planning and resource management. So much of what we do is fragmented and doesn't connect with each other.
And it shows and it across the globe.
And so you might be improving something but not improving something else as a consequence.
Was this a vision of one person, green plans, or has it developed and did it all start here in the States or I think the Netherlands? Weren't they involved early on?
There have been different approaches to the nature of a green plan, and the Resource Renewal Institute has adopted the Netherlands and New Zealand as two examples, different examples of the ways in which you can do things. In the Netherlands, it's been very much an industry, government-related exercise where they determine the objectives and industry works out how they're going to deliver on those objectives and corralling their members in that industrial group, like the chemical companies, to achieve those outcomes. In New Zealand, we've gone down the route of designing a law which then drives a green plan process with regional and local plans of an environmental and physical planning nature.
Are your environmental problems and challenges similar to what we have here in the States? I know you're not as dense. You probably don't have the problem with urban sprawl to the degree we do. But in what respect are your experiences relevant to our listeners?
Well, everybody appreciates the need for clean air, water, and land that doesn't contaminate and pollute. And
I understand you've done a pretty good job of that, protecting that.
Yes. Well, over the last 100-odd years, we've done pretty well to screw everything up, just as you have.
As bad, really? I always thought of New Zealand as a greener country. Is that a myth?
Well, it is a bit of a myth because we've adopted all the nasty things that you've produced.
Sorry about that. Should have asked us. We environmentalists would have advised you to leapfrog over our mistakes, trying to do that with China now.
So you start off by getting off the plane and the first thing you see is a McDonald's.
Oh, really sorry to hear that.
That's a symbol of your culture.
So I shouldn't go there first chance I get? I always thought I was going to see a sort of an example of what could be.
You don't have to go there. You can avoid it and find plenty of other things.
Okay, so jump right in. Tell us how you have instituted green plans.
Okay, so the first thing that we've done, which is a bit different, is that we've put the focus on enabling development to occur, but ensuring that we deal with the adverse effects. So the new law that we have in place focuses on adverse effects, and it basically says you can't generate adverse effects.
You cannot?
No.
Okay. And is it kind of like putting a green filter across the, all the municipal processes
yes,
that take
that's
place?
Yes, that's a good way of putting it, yes.
Does it help to avoid some of the red tape and the bureaucratic, bogged downness that we see trying to get something positive done or prevent something negative from being done?
Yes. Well, the objective was to move from more than 50 acts of parliament that we had and related regulations. And we basically threw them up in the air and made sure they fell back into one pile, and that became the Resource Management Act. So we drew all the components that so many parts of the world have as separate parts of what they do, requiring different agencies to approve things. We brought that all under a single administration and ensured that we only had at the most, two points of approval for what people want to do.
Was there much resistance to green plans? And are you seeing more openness, perhaps, because of what's going on globally now?
No, there wasn't a lot of resistance, and that was very interesting. And partly it was because we set about bringing everybody on board and enabling them to own what was going on. So before we actually came out with anything that said what we were going to do, we asked people what they thought we should do. And we did that on a national telephone hookup that ran for 3 days. And we found out what people's concerns were, and then we sat down and wrote the brief for the further 5 years of work to respond to those.
Which probably wasn't so brief, but give us the highlights of some of your successes since we don't have time to go into as much depth as I'd like.
Well, I think the most important thing is that it cemented the role of regional, what we call regional authorities, which are, there are 14 across the whole country, and they are the resource managers. So we don't have statutory agencies in the form of the Forest Service and the sorts of things that you might hear, Bureau of Land Management. We don't have those, except in Wellington where they provide policy advice, but they don't have regulatory functions. So that was the first thing we did, was we brought the responsibility back to the regions. And within the regions, the local councils are the permitting authorities for land use, and the regional councils permit the taking of water, the discharges of, into air and water and so on. And so when you want to do something, and this is the real big advantage, when you as a company you want to do something, you've only got two local authorities to talk to.
One of the things that I think is most interesting about green plans and probably most challenging, if I understand it correctly, it's kind of like we hear about smart growth a lot. But how do you, you know, build intelligently and keeping the environment in mind and all that we're learning about impacts of sprawl, of commuting, of, you know, just all the stuff coming out of our smokestacks and cars, when you've already got infrastructure in place? It seems that green plans is kind of addressing that, saying we don't have to move everything around, don't have to replace where cities are being built or maybe an airport or so, but not the whole big picture. But there is a way to come in after the fact and sort of clean things up and green things up. Is that what you're finding is happening?
Yes, and the focus in our approach has been to ask the very simple question, are there any adverse effects arising out of what people want to do? Is what they want to do mandated by the plans that the local authority and the regional council have, where they've tried to anticipate the effects and say we don't want these effects and we also want to have this sort of outcome? And these things are all spelled out so developers have a much clearer picture as to what they have to deliver.
And we just have a minute left, but is one concrete outcome seeing affordable housing being built near public transit, that kind of thing that we talk so much about?
Yes.
And that can be done.
And also in natural areas, we find timber mills being turned down in terms of permits.
Because of green plans.
Yes.
If our listeners would like to find out more about this concept, where can they go?
They can go to the website for the Resource Renewal Institute, www.rri.org, and that can then provide them with information for New Zealand and other parts of the world.
I think you should travel to Australia. They need some greening. Thanks so much, Tom Fuchs, for spending some time with us. He's visiting a visiting professor from Auckland, New Zealand. That'll do it for this edition of EcoTalk. We'll see you next time.